Stan Boy is not in the meeting.
Please call the case.
Case number SC0T-17-184. Contested case name, Hui Molokai Incorporated. Arguing for the appellant, Calvert Chipchase. Also appearing for the appellant, Christopher Gooden and Trisha Akagi. Arguing for appellee, Office of Hawaiian Affairs, Sherry Broder. Arguing for appellee, Department of Hawaiian Homelands, Ryan Kanaka-Ole. Arguing for appellees, Kaparita and Kua Pu'ia, Camille Kalama. Also appearing for appellee, County of Maui, Caleb Rowe. Argument on the merits.
All right, good morning to all of our counsel. And we have a number of folks arguing today, so I'll just make sure that we have we're in correct order. Mr. Chipchase, you're going to be going first, and you've reserved 7 minutes for rebuttal, correct?
Sure.
All right. Ms. Broder, you'll be going first on the appellee side. You have 10 minutes reserved. We'll give you a yellow light when we hit 10 minutes. Mr. Kanaka-Ole, 10 minutes on behalf of DHHL. And Ms. Kalama, 10 minutes. The third person arguing with 10 minutes as well, correct? All right, and then back to Mr. Chipchase. So one thing I'll note that the court has received appellee's joint motions and will be deferring ruling on them until after the oral argument today.
Understood, Your Honor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. For the record, good morning. May it please the court, Cal Chipchase, Christopher Gooden, and Trisha Akagi from Molokai Public Utilities. Your Honors, before the court today is a question of first impression. Namely, how does a party irrevocably surrender its right to participate in a contested case? A contested case is a quasi-judicial proceeding, a trial-like proceeding, with all of the due process protections consistent with its serious nature. This appeal arises from the dismissal of a contested case. And in dismissing that contested case, the Water Commission in 2017 looked exclusively, entirely, completely to statements made in a letter sent in 2008, reached back in time, and dismissed the contested case on that basis. It did not matter to the Commission that no one acted on the letter or those statements at the time they were made. No party moved to dismiss. The Commission didn't issue an order to show cause. The Commission didn't even set a status conference to inquire what those statements might mean. Instead, the case remained a contested case. It didn't matter to the Commission that the PUC and the Department of Health had ordered MPU to continue supplying water, or that MPU had continued to supply water from that well. It didn't matter to the Commission that its staff spent years working with MPU to complete a new use application.
Isn't your new application still pending, regardless if the contested case is dismissed?
Your Honor, if you look at the letter accepting the new use application, the short answer is I don't believe it is. If you look at the letter accepting the new use application that the Commission sent to MPU in 2012, it expressly states that that application is accepted as part of the contested case. It specifically references the contested case number, and it specifically notes that the application will be served on the parties to that contested case.
Did the order dismiss your application, or did it dismiss, what did it dismiss?
It dismissed the contested case, Your Honor, which the application was accepted expressly as part of. And if we look not only at the notice that the Commission gave to the applicant, when it accepted expressly as part of a contested case that application, we look at the notice to the public that the Commission issued. The Commission specifically told the public that the application had been accepted and that the contested case would continue on that application. And then we look at what the Commission did after publishing notice.
Isn't the order titled order dismissing the contested case?
Indeed, Your Honor. And that's what the Commission did. But you must remember the application was expressly accepted as part of that contested case. It was accepted with MPU as the applicant as part of that contested case. Proceeded.
So is it your position today? Are you basically saying you're acknowledging that your permit is dismissed and it no longer is pending? Is that your position?
My position, Your Honor, is that I have no other communication from the Commission telling me that my application is still alive. All I have from the Commission is a letter telling me that my application is accepted as part of the contested case. I have a public notice telling me that my application is part of the contested case. I have a status conference set by the Commission with the parties telling me and all the other parties to the contested case that we will take up this application as part of the contested case following remand from this court in Kukui, and we will discuss the scope of the hearing on remand. And then I have an order dismissing the contested case. That is the extent of the record that I have, Your Honor. My application was part of it. The contested case was dismissed. But none of those facts mattered to the commission in 2017. The commission considered nothing other than statements made in 2008. The commission concluded indicated a waiver. And the commission did not care what the applicant had done or what the commission had done since that time. It simply reached back in time without the benefit of any rule. Remember, there is no commission rule stating if you make these statements, you take these steps, we will dismiss your contested case. The commission is making things up. It's making things up ad hoc, post hoc, 9 years later, without even notifying MPU that we're going to dismiss your case based on these statements in 2008. Instead, it reached back in time and dismissed the contested case after 9 years.
There wasn't a motion to dismiss? I thought the commission heard a motion to dismiss.
What happened, Your Honor, is that the commission noticed briefing and a hearing on whether the contested case should be dismissed. It did not, if we analogize to a court, have a statement that, you know, to the effect you did not file your pretrial statement or you haven't been active or you haven't done these things, I'm going to dismiss your case unless you can tell me why. It just noticed briefing on dismissal of the contested case, set a hearing on dismissal of the contested case, and then a year after that came up with a reasoning that ended in the dismissal of the contested case. It's absolutely true that parties advocated that in their briefing as waiver being one of the bases for the dismissal of the contested case. But from the commission.
Didn't you oppose the motion?
We did, Your Honor.
And you cited four different grounds that aren't even being raised here.
My pardon, Your Honor. The parties made a number of arguments. We responded to those arguments. But in terms of what the commission did, the first time we received notice that the commission would dismiss on that basis was in the order itself.
But it was argued, wasn't it?
It was, Your Honor.
It was argued continuously, hasn't it? It's not like you had mentioned before that you had no notification, but you had notice and you were able to brief and argue.
We were able to brief in response to the other parties raising that in their briefs as a basis for dismissal. There's no question. But if we look at what a court would do, this is not the procedure a court would follow. Indeed, you could have a court, you could have a party to a judicial proceeding actually move to dismiss their case under Rule 41, file a motion saying, I want to dismiss my case. You could have a hearing set.
But you started off saying that there was no OSC. How is this not tantamount to an OSC process, which is something that the courts use, saying, you know, why shouldn't this case be dismissed? Explain to us why this case should not be dismissed.
Your Honor, in an OSC case, in an OSC context, they state the reason that the court is considering dismissal. Here, the commission did not. That is the analogy there. But if we take it a step further in the court, you could have a party file that motion to dismiss expressly telling the court, I want to dismiss my case. And if that party withdrew the motion before the court ruled on it, the case would continue. The court would not say, I know you've withdrawn your motion, but you told me at one time you didn't want to proceed. You even filed a legal paper saying that. That's a waiver, and I'm going to dismiss your case on that basis. If we take it a step back from that to something closer to what we have, if a party sent a letter to a court and said, I don't have the money right now, I hope to have it in the future, but I can't actively pursue this case, and no action was taken, no party moved to dismiss, the court didn't set a status conference, the court didn't issue an OSC, the case remained a case until the plaintiff reengaged, began filing papers, the court began taking action. At that point, the court would never reach back in time and say,
do you actually, the way you just recounted those events, you said that you might be able to proceed at a later time. That's not what your letter said. You said that we are seeking a new owner that will have resources, and hopefully they will be capable of resolving the matter. You don't even say that hopefully of going contesting the case. You say resolving. But aside from that, there's no indication that you wish to go forward at any point in this letter.
Your Honor, whether it's a company, whether the owner of the company changes, the company has its own legal identity. and whether the owner of that company is someone other than Molokai Properties Limited, or the owner of Molokai Properties Limited is someone different, the applicant remains MPU. MPU would be the applicant that went forward. And at the close of the letter, it says we can't actively pursue this matter at this time.
Where does it say at this time?
I'm sorry, actively pursue this matter. If you had exactly this letter in a judicial context, exactly the same letter with all of the same statements, and a party came back and reaffirmed their intent to proceed and did proceed, and the court took action on that case, the court would never reach back in time and say, well, you sent us this letter back then. You waived your rights then, and everything you've done and we've done since then doesn't matter.
I think if a court was going to be evaluating whether or not you waived it back in May 27, 2008, and apparently refused or did not file responsive pleadings that you were instructed to do, I think what a court would do would go back, instead of looking subsequently and looking at events after this letter, what the commission did was to look at what your position was and what you folks did on May 27th and May 30th and what you represented.
The commission did look at the letter. There's no question. The commission didn't rely on the May 30th letter. Your Honor's talking about the letter to the PUC. The commission simply said that letter supports our interpretation.
Correct.
Curiously, the commission did not go on to say, but the PUC and Department of Health ordered you to continue supplying water. And so you have continued to supply water. So whatever you told the PUC doesn't matter because you had...
The commission ordered you to continue supplying?
The PUC and the Department of Health, Your Honor.
Right, but it wasn't the commission.
It was not, but the commission relied on our statement to the PUC for its interpretation of it, to support its interpretation of the letter.
Why couldn't it rely on that statement? I mean, it, again, as a reflection of the intent of the company.
If it's going to rely on one single event in the record, why can it ignore every other subsequent event in the record?
Because that's how waivers are determined. You look at a specific point in time, and you look at what the individual represents, and what it looks like you represented is essentially you were refusing, your company appeared to be representing, that you were refusing to go forward at that point in time. You had been asked to respond to a status conference, a memo or something saying, what would be the scope of this hearing? And your response is, wait, forget about the scope. We're not going forward.
Your Honor, there are two important parts in response to that question. The first is what you said. It appears to say. In any context, let alone a quasi-judicial context, you are not basing waiver on equivocal statements. This letter is from a party, not a pleading, not an official statement, not something from counsel. This is a letter from the parent company of a party. It is best understood as an inartful request to stay. And that's how everyone obviously took it at the time, because no action was taken on it at the time.
Excuse me, you're disavowing this now because it didn't come from the lawyer? Is that what I heard, or maybe I misheard?
I'm pointing out, Your Honor, that when a party files papers through counsel, they typically have all the legal phrases and conceptions that we are used to and familiar with. We have to judge this for what it is, a letter from the parent company of a party, not a letter from counsel. I'm not disavowing anything. I'm explaining that in that lens, or from that lens, this letter is an inartful request for a stay, and that that is how it was received and taken by everyone at the time, which is why no action was taken on it. No action was taken on this letter. And to respond to the Chief Justice's further question, the looking at things outside the letter when considering whether to dismiss a contested case is entirely appropriate. What's not appropriate is to look at one thing outside of the letter.
Was MPU concerned, now that it's been characterized as a stay, that they received no formal letter saying, we have received your letter that we are considering to be a stay request, and therefore we are granting? I mean, was there anything like that?
There was nothing to that effect. There was nothing dismissing it. There was nothing setting an order to show cause. What happened is when MPU was able to proceed with the new use application, it did. And the commission worked with, or the staff worked with MPU to complete that application and to accept it for filing. There was no interruption in that. No one reached back and said, wait, your case was over. We just didn't dismiss it. No one reached out and said, we didn't think you wanted to proceed. They accepted the new use application. The commission accepted the new use application.
Was there a motion to dismiss at that point in front of the commission?
No, Your Honor, there wasn't. There was an earlier motion to dismiss on different grounds that was never heard. There was never a motion to dismiss on the basis of the letter or of any inactivity
in
the case.
No, I meant when you filed, you said that the commission did not act when it got your new application. And but my question to you, was there any motion to dismiss at that point in time? Did you expect the commission at that point to sua sponte act?
Your Honor, to be absolutely clear, there was an earlier motion to dismiss in part on other grounds that was never acted upon and that was pending and remains pending in the contested case.
From that point in time?
From 2008.
And one of the reasons perhaps it didn't go forward was because of this letter, which basically said, we're out of here, we're not going forward.
If that is how the commission received and took the letter, the response would have been to either issue an order to show cause why we should not dismiss now, because everybody agrees the letter isn't self-affecting, you need an order, or at least to hold a status conference and say, what do you really mean?
I didn't hear what you said. The letter is in effect on what?
Self-affecting. The letter itself did not end the contested case. You'd need an order to do that. It's not a stipulation. It's not a pleading. It's not even a motion by a party. And so you would need some further commission action to act on it. That didn't happen at the time. And what ended up happening was that the commission worked with NPU, accepted the application, and noticed it as a continuation of the contested case.
Do you think that was error by the commission to do that?
No, Your Honor, I don't think it was error by the commission to do that. Right? The commission took the letter for what it is, a status report from a party, an inartful request for a stay.
To construe it as the same application.
No, Your Honor, I don't think so. It's entirely consistent with this court's opinion in Kikui. Remember, in Kikui, the court vacated the decision in order, vacating certain findings or certain conclusions, no findings, and sent the case back to the Water Commission for the express purpose of having the applicant file a new use application. And so in filing that new use application, it was finally fulfilling the direction in Kikui. That's how the Water Commission took it. That's how the notice to the party when it was accepted was phrased. That's how the notice to the public was phrased.
Okay, so the commission gets a letter from a party. I'm assuming that it's from a party and not the attorney because they just don't have the money to pay for an attorney at that point in time. They kind of say they're broke, right? And that's because they're saying they don't have the money to pursue this. At that point in time, you're saying that the commission should have just dismissed it or ordered the OSC as to why it should not be dismissed?
If the commission had questions as to what that letter means and to its effect, if the commission thought that it had some separate effect and that the meaning was clear, it should have acted upon it at that time.
What's the difference between them doing it then and then later?
Because in any case where you have a dismissal of a party's contested case, you don't look at one fixed point in time when 9 years have passed since that fixed point in time. Right? In the court analogy, you would never do that. You would never look at a letter and say, I don't care what you've done since. You would never look at the motion to dismiss and say, I don't care that you withdrew it. You would look at all of the factors in considering whether this contested case or whether that trial should be dismissed.
But who's to know that they didn't look at all the factors? All of the parties briefed it. They looked at all the factors and they decided that this one is the determining factor, and that is this letter.
We know from the commission's order, Your Honor. We know from the commission's order on page 427, quote, we find that NPU waived its right to continue this contested case when it submitted the May 27, 2008 letter to the commission that clearly stated that it did not intend to pursue this case on remand. And we know from the next page of the order, at page 428, Your Honor, of the record, at the end of the first half paragraph, quote, it is not reasonable for NPU to believe that it can undo its clear expression that it did not want to pursue the contested case by filing a new use water permit application 4 years later. We know from that that there's nothing else that MPU could have done. There's no consideration in the order of any of the actions that MPU took or that the commission took to reaffirm and confirm that this contested case was continuing. If it would not happen in a court, we cannot expect agencies to take the dismissal of a contested case any less seriously. An agency is charged not only with protecting the constitutional rights or not violating the constitutional rights of the people who come before it, the people with whom it interacts, but fulfilling its constitutional responsibilities affirmatively. And if we have a contested case that is a trial-like proceeding, we have to require that the agency take the dismissal of that contested case as seriously as we would require a court, not casually based on statements made 9 years earlier.
So,
go ahead.
How many years do you think that this stay could have remained in effect?
Your Honor, I believe that the length of time had nothing to do with the basis for dismissal, but let me try to answer that question a little more directly. The stay or the suspension of the case would have remained in effect until any party or the commission sought to end it. Right? So if at some point in the period of time between that letter and when we began working with the commission on a new use application, 4 years, which, by the way, in the length of the history of this case, is not a remarkable period of time. It was 8 years between the filing of the original application in 93 and the decision in 2001. And it was 7 years between that decision and this court's appeal at the end of 2007. And so you had a 14-year period already, which in the Water Commission context is not remarkable either. This court has never affirmed in full the decision of a Water Commission. It's always vacated, usually in part, and remanded for further proceedings. And in doing that, the case doesn't ever start over. The case starts over from the last point that the commission got it right. The court doesn't say you have to do everything over again because you got these things wrong. They said you got these things wrong. Start from here and continue. Yeah. And that's the way this case was going on remand, to consider immediately the scope of the hearing on remand and the submission of a new use water application. So at any point from that period, when the commission is saying, we're going to consider the scope on remand, we want to know what the parties think, we want to know when a new use application is going to be filed.
And you informed them that you weren't going forward. And according to the Supreme Court decision that you just cited, there was no guarantee that, in fact, you were going to do it. I believe the wording of the order says something to the effect, you know, if on remand KMI wishes to revive these expired uses, it must apply. So the commission specifically asked whether you were going to do it, and then what you characterize as a casual letter, which is addressed to the chairperson and the deputy director of the commission, and it's got CCs to the Attorney General's office, to the DHHL, to NHLC, to OHA. That's a casual letter.
To be clear, Your Honor, I did not call it a casual letter. I called it an inartful request for a stay. I said the commission's dismissal of this case could not be done on so casual a basis as a single letter at a fixed point in time to the exclusion of considering everything else, because that's not what you would expect of a court.
Counsel, is there any requirement that when one does a waiver that it can't be done in a letter that affirmatively states we don't have the resources to pursue this expensive remand proceeding, we do not intend to continue to pursue this case on remand? Why isn't one letter that specifically states about four different times you're not going forward, why isn't that sufficient?
There are two reasons, Your Honor. The first is that we are not in an ordinary context of a party waiving some right. We're in the termination of a judicial proceeding or quasi-judicial proceeding in the form of a contested case. The second reason, Your Honor, and so to continue on that, I suppose.
Okay, but does waiver, when one looks at the concept of what constitutes a waiver, are there specific rules that differ than when we look at waiver for the length of a hearing the case has been going on in a while? I mean, it seems like you're advocating for a different standard.
No, Your Honor. What I'm advocating for is that the dismissal of a contested case, no less than the dismissal of a case, considers all of the facts and circumstances. And so if an order to show cause had been issued immediately after this letter, you would have fewer facts and circumstances to consider when evaluating whether the dismissal of the case is appropriate. But when you have a 9-year span, you cannot simply ignore that 9 years of activity, which involved not only the applicant, but the inaction by the other parties to take any action to dismiss, and affirmative action by the commission to continue the contested case on that new use application.
Was the letter ever affirmatively or expressly retracted or repudiated by MPU?
No, Your Honor. It was impliedly retracted in the form of the new use application that MPU submitted. I mean, the letter itself, our view of it, is that it is best understood as an inartful request for a stay. When the new use application was accepted, the case continued. And that's exactly what the commission told MPU was going to happen. Your Honors, I see that I'm at my initial period. If there are any other questions I can handle now, I'm happy to.
Wasn't also part of the letter MPU threatening to cease providing water utilities?
That was a separate letter to the PUC, Your Honor, that MPU could not continue to supply water. The PUC resolved that by ordering MPU to continue providing water and providing a rate increase.
They provided a rate increase that also enhanced the economic viability of the company?
That's, it at least made it sustainable, Your Honor, to continue supplying water, and MPU has done so. Thank you.
Very well. Ms. Broder.
May it please the court. We have divided up our time, and I'm going to be talking about the history of the administrative proceeding commenced in 1993 and the facts clearly establishing waiver by MPU and supporting affirmance of the February 17th, 2017 commission order. Mr. Kanaka'oli represents the Department of Hawaiian Homeland, and he will explain why there's no prejudice to MPU from the dismissal, because they can go ahead with their new application, and the dismissal was within the commission's discretion, and why there's a need for coordination and the best available information and facts. Now we're looking 20 years later when considering new uses of the Kualapu'u Aquifer. Ms. Kalama represents individual Native Hawaiians, and she will argue that the commission's determination of waiver was correct and the only reasonable interpretation based on the record, and the failure to comply with the 2008 commission order to clarify the corporate entity is just one more example of the intent to abandon the case by MPU. The County of Maui was not a party below in the former Kukui proceedings, although it is a party now because they are going to also submit an application for water use. So in the interest of saving time, the county has agreed to forego oral argument. They asked me to represent to the court that their position is the facts and evidence from the original proceeding, to which they were not a party, are too old and do not meet this court's standard in United Here Local 5 versus City and County of Honolulu. This case seems to be much ado about nothing, I think, because the letter is so clear that at that time it was Molokai Properties Limited, that they didn't intend to pursue the case any further. They say twice in their letter that they are not going to pursue the case. And then in addition, the commission noted that they are now going to be minor users of the water. And so they are not going to need the new permit anyways. We disagree that everyone thought the case was somehow or other in a stay. I think the reason that the Office of Foreign Affairs and the other appellees did not pursue our motion for partial dismissal, this was even before the letter came, we filed that motion. But we filed the motion because Molokai Properties Limited had already announced they were going to close all their operations on Molokai, and that they were not going to, then they took the next step, which was they were not going to provide water anymore. So our motion for partial dismissal in 2008 was to limit their water permit to pre-existing consumers. So, and to cut off all their application that was in that original permit for Well 17, to cut it all off for any commercial purposes because they were completely closing their operation.
Why didn't you file a motion to dismiss after receiving a copy of the letter from MPU?
Well, we already had a motion for partial dismissal pending, so we thought that was sufficient.
But for this new reason?
Well, the letter for partial dismissal, I think, is right on point, which is that it would be to allow continued water delivery to pre-existing users, but to stop the proceedings with regard to any new uses. In fact, no permit was ever gotten That's one of the complaints that we've been making all along, and the fact that there are no permits have been gotten. I think the other issue that came up from the justices was, well, why don't they pursue the permit that they've applied for now as a new use permit? I mean, if they had wanted to, rather than taking this appeal or even simultaneously with the appeal, they could have proceeded with the new application. And I think there's an understanding by the commission that it might be that they could go ahead with a new application. I mean, the commission was very clear in its order that, in response to the argument regarding redoing findings of fact that were not challenged on appeal, the commission encourages the parties to the degree necessary going forward to stipulate to those findings of fact that are uncontroverted and still pertinent to the current water use permit application. So, I think the commission anticipated that the new application might, go ahead. In the 2012 letter from the deputy director of the commission, the staff letter, it's a 2015 letter, but he refers to, he does a chronology, and in referring to 2012, he says that that MPU had abandoned the case. So I think that shows the understanding of the staff at the commission that the case had been abandoned back then. I think it was taken by everyone at the time that MPU was going to only be a minor user, as the commission notes in their order. They were only going to be a minor user of the water, and so therefore, it seemed pretty black and white that the case was over. So I think if we look at this case, 1993 it started. 1998 was the contested case. So that means all the evidence in this case is from 1998. I mean, that's 20 years ago. The order of the commission is 2001, and the order of this court is 2007. So even, we're two decades from when the evidence was introduced. And right now, although it's the burden of MPU to determine how the drawdown of well 17 is going to affect the chlorine and salinity of well 17 and the adjacent nearby wells of DHHL, Maui County, and may I make a mention to one fact that we wanted in our motion to dismiss? Is that permissible since you haven't ruled on it?
Well, I ask that you stay with the record that we have.
Okay. So we know at least there are other applications for water use pending from wells nearby in this exact same aquifer. So in 20 years, a lot could have changed. And in addition, we have the Office of Hawaiian Affairs and the Department of Hawaiian Homelands. We have commissioned the U.S. Geological Survey to do a study. So they have collected data from those wells, and they are going to be doing modeling on how much can be withdrawn. And even though it's MPU's burden, we decided to go ahead and try to get the best evidence available. So it doesn't make any sense even to be using, at this point in time, evidence from 20 years ago. MPU could just go ahead at any point in time and ask that this new application that they have pending go ahead.
So you're saying there is the new application. Mr. Chip Chase is saying he's not sure, but you're saying it is pending.
I am saying that it's clear, I think, from what the commission said, that they thought the application was pending. And let's assume that it's not pending. What do they need to do to get it going? All they need to do is go to the Water Commission and say, okay, we want the new application to get going and go through the statutory process that's required for notice. For this application, we were not served. So if they thought the proceeding was still going on, aren't we supposed to be informed of what's going on? Aren't they supposed to serve us? So I think that shows that they didn't think, I don't know what they thought, I can't say what they thought, but I think it does show that the application may not be properly in the old proceeding anyways, because we weren't notified. They cite the Waihole case in their brief for the proposition that cases can go on and go on and go on, but really Waihole stands for the exact opposite principle, which is that in the Waihole case, after this court remanded the case for further proceedings, between the first remand and the second decision and order, there was 1 year. Okay, this case was remanded in 2007. Now here we are a decade later. Between the second remand and third decision in the Waihole case, there were only 2 years. So in other cases where there's an intent to get a permit, when the cases come back after remand, there's action ahead. So,
when the commission hadn't acted on your motion to dismiss, what did you think was going on in the case?
The motion for partial dismissal?
Yes.
We thought that the case had been abandoned.
Is that a legal term? I mean, what do you think?
That they had.
Was there anything filed in the court? Were you asked? Did you ask the court to please enter an order?
No, we didn't do anything. I think in the Kukui case, the court said that MPU had to affirmatively apply for its new permit and take affirmative action. I think, you know, they're the ones applying for the permit. I think the burden is on them. I think, Your Honor, you're asking a good question. So the question really is, whose burden is it? And I think that given the letter, you know, in the letter they say two times that they're not going to pursue the case on appeal. They suggest that somebody else might take over the case. That's pure speculation. And of course, it turned out to be pure speculation because, in fact, MPU, which is somehow or other related to Molokai Properties Limited, who wrote the letter, they're still in the case. So even even that didn't turn out to be the way that they said, and they were clear that they were going to become minor users of the water. So we didn't know what their corporate plans might be, but I think the letters seemed to be pretty clear to all of us and to the commission, and that's why nobody else took any action.
Wait a minute. Did you just say that they seem to be speculating that they might continue the case under new ownership? So was that a possibility when you read the letter?
I was saying that was just speculation on their part that there might be a new owner.
And what was the significance of that?
I'm just saying that it's speculation, that's all. It wasn't a fact in evidence or fact in existence.
Why would it matter that they got a new owner, that they might continue the case? Is that? I thought you said that.
No.
Very well, thank you. Ms. Broder, does that complete your argument?
Yes, it does.
All right,
thank you.
We'll move on to Mr. Kanakaole.
Aloha kumi hana kako. My name is Ryan Kanakaole. I'm a Deputy Attorney General and I represent the Department of Hawaiian Homelands. Your Honors, this case is really about a critical resource for life. It's about water, and it's especially critical to the people of Molokai, where water is scarce.
Could you speak more into the mic?
I'm sorry.
Thank you, so we can hear you.
As the Kahuwai Pono, the guardian of our water, it behooves the Water Commission in the situation such as this, where there is a limited amount of water in an aquifer, and there are multiple use applications for that water. It behooves them to review the best evidence available to it and to weigh all the proposed uses at one time. So it only makes sense that the commission in this situation dismissed the old contested case because it contained outdated and irrelevant information was based on an erroneous water application, and it resulted, which resulted in an erroneous commission decision that was ultimately vacated in its entirety by this court in 2007.
That isn't the reason the commission gave for dismissing it, though. I mean, I think what you're saying is laudable, but it's best to look at all the applications together to see what the most beneficial are.
Correct, Your Honor.
But the commission didn't say that in its order, did it?
In the dismissal order on pages 6 through 7, or page 6 of the dismissal order, I believe the commission contemplated all arguments set forth before it, and it also said that this dismissal responds to all those arguments, and they enumerated all the arguments that were provided, including the passage of time, the multiple use applications, as well as the waiver issue. But more important, the commission's dismissal doesn't prejudice MPU's substantial rights here. MPU isn't being denied a water use permit. They're not being denied the opportunity to seek a water use permit. They're not being denied the right to a contested case over their new water use permit. And they're not being denied the benefit of the old record. The commission, in their dismissal order, established a process on how to get that old information that is still relevant in. It appears to me, it appears to DHHL, that MPU merely disagrees with the process that the commission set forth on how to get that old record in. What the dismissal does is that it prevents the use of an old docket number that was for a single old water application from being applied to multiple water use applications that are currently going on right now. Effectively, the dismissal helps the commission organize and prioritize the issues and the information presented to it.
If MPU files another contested case hearing and application, I assume then, because you're saying now that it's the commission should look at everything together, you're not going to object.
We're not going to object. In fact, we've been pushing for mediation among all applicants, and that motion hasn't actually been determined by the commission, but we've been pushing for mediation on all applicants to resolve the issues with this aquifer. MPU is arguing that the dismissal, they're losing, with the dismissal, they're losing the benefit of the old record, but that's not right. Because like I said before, the dismissal order left the door open for the old relevant information to come in. The dismissal order asks all the applicants to come together to figure out what is still relevant and then submit it to the commission, and that makes sense. The commission doesn't have to or shouldn't be wading through old irrelevant information to come to a decision on matters today. MPU, in their reply brief, they cite specific findings from the 2001 commission decision, which they believe are still relevant. But upon closer examination, those findings are either outdated or irrelevant to the new application. They're citing findings that from 2001 that are 20 years old, is data that was collected from 1997 to 1998. They're citing findings referring to an agreement with the state of Hawaii over the use of the Molokai irrigation system, and that agreement is no longer. These examples of still good information from the old case really just highlights our concerns and the commission's concerns over the old case findings. And if taken as a whole, those findings, those conclusions from the old case only serve to confuse at this point. Moreover, the legal conclusions that MPU is saying that they need in are preserved by the Kukui case. First, DHHL's public trust reservation is not an existing use. Second, the Safe Water Drinking Act doesn't apply to when the commission is doling out water use permits. That's black letter law, and that's not going anywhere. And anyway, the dismissal of this old case, that's within the commission's discretion. The commission's actions on the record, from the beginning to the end, they reflect one thing. The commission was trying to figure out what to do with all the multiple use applications in light of this old, stagnant, contested case that was still on the docket. October 2015, MPU's new application was accepted. Same time, DHHL and Maui County's applications were also accepted. Shortly thereafter, about 10 days after, the commission orders a status conference regarding that old contested case. Then the commission starts considering dismissal of that old case. So it calls for additional briefings from all the parties. A hearing is set, or arguments are heard, and only after everybody weighs in on that issue, then they decide, okay, Paul, this is dismissed. We have to start with everything on the same playing field. The record on appeal is clear. Shortly after accepting the new applications, it was apparent that there were administrative issues regarding the new applications in light of the old contested case number, or the old contested case on the docket. And the best course of actions after the process of status conference, briefings, and hearings, the course of action that the commission took was dismiss the old case, set up a process of getting the old information from the old case to come into the new applications, and then move forward on all the new applications simultaneously. That is a logical way to do it. And the commission has the discretion to do that. They have the discretion to dictate the flow of information, submit it to it in a manner that they view best serves their purpose. And in this situation, the commission does not need to wade through 20 years, 5,000 pages actually, MPU says, 5,000 pages of 20-year-old data, and it just doesn't make sense. It's illogical to go through that route. The commission deserves the best evidence available to it, and that's what their dismissal basically says. If the applicants want to bring in stuff from the old case, look at it, determine relevance, and then come to us. The commission decision to dismiss this old case was appropriate because MPU is not being harmed here. They can still pursue their application. And the dismissal was within the commission's discretion. And for those reasons, we ask for your affirmance.
Thank you very much.
Mahalo.
All right. We'll now hear from Ms. Kalama.
Aloha mai kakou, members of the court. My name is Camille Kalama. I represent appellees, interveners, Georgina Kuahu'ia and Judy Kaparita, who is here with us today. At the outset, I'd like to note that our brief argued 3 points. The first was jurisdiction based on the failure to substitute. And based on a further review of the record and the way the commission handled the 2015 proceedings on the new application, we do acknowledge today that the MPU does have the technical right to seek review of the dismissal order issued by the commission in 2017. I believe there was a question about whether we believe the commission erred by noticing the new application in the old proceeding, and we believe they did. However, the commission took careful steps to address that issue and appropriately dismiss the old proceeding in 2017. For the reasons that I will go over, and as have already been explained by my colleagues, we believe that was the correct result. First of all, in regards to waiver, I believe counsel for appellants is taking a very narrow reading of the commission's dismissal order. The first part of the sentence that was read to you is based on the record and argument in this case, we find that MPU waived its right to continue this contested case when it submitted the May 27, 2008 letter to the commission that clearly stated it did not intend to pursue this case on remand. So they said it was based on the record and argument in this case. And as you've already heard, the commission listed the 6 other arguments made by appellees and interveners at the time as to why the case should be dismissed and stated that the order is responsive to appellees' arguments. So it's not true that they are focusing on a single letter. And if we look at the context at the time, I know some of these facts have come up already, but just to walk us through the context leading up to that letter again, if we look back at 2007, after the court's remand, the court says, Kukui Molokai, who had been substituted by Kuloko'i Land, LLC, during the appeal, if it wants to revive the new uses, as this court has noted, needs to file a new application for new uses. That would be under a different standard because the commission had improperly considered it under existing use standards. In February 2008, the parties submitted statements to the commission. The commission issues its March 10, 2008 order. In that order, it sets a briefing schedule and also instructs on page 1 of that order, whoever is going to be the successor to, I believe it said KMI, but it should have said Kalua'ko'i Land LLC, needs to set forth in a separate pleading how it is the successor and who is the new applicant for the new use application. That's in March, on March 10th. In May 2nd, in response to that order setting the briefing schedule, the interveners submit their brief. Also on that date, the interveners file their joint motion for partial dismissal. Now, appellant makes a big deal out of the fact that it was a partial dismissal, but the point of being partial was that the interveners weren't seeking to cut off water supply to the current users. They weren't trying to cut off anyone's drinking water at that time. Nothing was filed in response to that motion to dismiss. Instead, on May 27th, 2008, Molokai Properties Limited, on behalf of, or states that MPU cannot actively pursue this proceeding. And I'd like to note an appellant's opening brief on page 19, that letter refers to counsel, Yvonne Izu, for any questions on that letter. So at the time, MPL at least, is represented by counsel. This is not simply a letter from a party that has no real effect. And in fact, it did have an effect.
Wasn't the reference, if you have any questions, so did it raise any questions with you then? So that you wanted to contact Ms. Izu?
No, Your Honor, because in our minds, the record, the letter was clear.
And in your experience, somebody writes a letter and there's nothing on the record after that from the court? What happens then?
Well, in that case, there was a briefing schedule, and nothing was filed in response to the motion to dismiss. Nothing was filed in accordance with the briefing schedule. And when a party fails to respond to the court's rulings and directions ordering briefing,
usually the case is dismissed, isn't it?
That's
and
how
in this case it wasn't.
That's right. And we believe that is yet another error of the commission, that the commission should, we thought at the time, the commission should have acted on our motion to dismiss. We'd already filed the motion to dismiss, so there wasn't a need at that time for us to file a separate motion to dismiss.
The motion you filed, did it refer to this letter, or was it based on the letter?
It was not, Your Honor, and that is because it was filed prior to the letter. So following the letter and then following because the briefing schedule set out how the parties are to respond to each other, there was no response, so there was no further response.
Why didn't you move for a dismissal, based on the lack of response at that point? And that assumes that it was your obligation. Do you think it was your obligation, and if not, why not in those circumstances?
I agree with my colleague, Ms. Broder, who has said that it's really the burden of the applicant. The applicant needed to come forward with a new use permit application if it wanted to revive the old uses. Here, it was responsible for submitting a brief on what the scope of this new hearing was. First of all, the original applicant, KMI or Kalua'ko'i Land LLC, had not submitted anything. Second of all, if this new applicant wanted to come forward, it was supposed to set forth in that separate pleading who it was and submit that new use application. It didn't do so until apparently 5 years later, or 4 years later, in 2012. However, the interveners weren't aware of that application until 2015 through the public notice process. Interveners were not served with anything notifying us that there was a new use application that was continuing this old proceeding that we'd been involved in. We found out, like the rest of the public, and came forward and submitted our objections.
Do you agree that new use application is still pending?
Yes, absolutely, Your Honor. And as are the other applications that are pending by DHHL and Maui County. And as the water code requires or suggests, the commission should be considering these applications together because it needs to make a determination about whether it can accommodate all of them with the existing resource or whether it needs to choose between them and decide on what serves the public interest. And that's appropriate here, Your Honor.
Isn't one perspective that there was almost nothing to dismiss at that point because there had not even been an application made. In other words, on the remand, it said, if you want to go forward, then file it. Well, they never file it, and then they say they're not going forward. So what basis is there to dismiss when there's nothing even filed before the commission?
Absolutely, Your Honor. And
there
that
was
is
a motion, though.
There was a motion, and you know, we that's why we filed the motion, is to, in part, because there was already a notice of the closure of the hotel and the golf course, and the court's opinion in KMI said the failure of the commission to acknowledge and consider those closures was an error. And so clearly there were a lot of things that the commission needed to do differently, but there also, at its very basic, needed to be a new use application filed, and that wasn't done until several years later. And by a different entity. And the question of who the proper applicant on a water use permit is has been considered important by this court, and albeit this is a different context. But in Waiahole 1, as well as the Kukui Molokai appeal, or opinion, this court determined that there were actually severe consequences for failing to have the proper applicant in the proceeding. In Waiahole 1, it was Pu'u Makakilo Inc. as well, and who had been determined to be a new user and not an existing user. That determination, even though it was characterized as an oversight by the company, was determined to have an immediate effect, which meant that they were not considered an existing user, which would have given them priority for water use, or given them the commission would have had to weigh them differently. And so that failure to properly have the right party was a big deal, as well as in Kukui Molokai 1, where the court determined that KMI was not a successor or hadn't filed the proper application for an existing water use within the time frame, and could not piggyback onto Molokai Ranch. And therefore, that was the basis for the court determining that its water use permit must be considered as a new use and not as an existing use. And so the question of the proper party is important. Here, if it was so important to preserve this prior record, one would expect that the successor would come forward and comply with the commission's order. And for all these reasons, Your Honors, we ask that you affirm the commission's decision.
Very well, thank you. Mr. Chip Chase, your rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honors, every party to a proceeding has obligations. And in the judicial context, the dismissal on an order to show cause would consider what all the parties have done or haven't done. The Commission didn't do that. And we cannot infer reasons or bases or determinations by the Commission that it did not make. That is not what this court allows with agencies. This court always requires agencies to set out the facts on which they rely and their specific legal determinations. The specific legal determination by this agency was that MPU waived its right to proceed in 2008 and that there is nothing that MPU could have done to undo that action.
Mr. Kanaka only makes a very compelling argument that it's best for the commission to look at all the applicants together in the same time framework with the same information available to it. Why not continue in that manner?
Nothing precludes the commission from doing that, Your Honor, as part of this contested case. And in fact, that is what was going to happen both in 2008 and in 2015.
You folks stopped it in 2008. You folks made a decision not to respond to, it sounds like three, you know, you didn't respond to the partial dismissal, you didn't respond to setting forth in a separate document who's going to be the successor, and then you write this letter, and then you write another letter too. I mean, you folks basically refused to go forward on the contested hearing, and you made your intentions explicit that you did not intend to continue.
The letter says at the closing, the commission misquotes it, but it says at the closing, do not intend to actively pursue. It also, as the court pointed out, expresses hope that a new buyer would be capable of resolving this matter. Your Honor, it has every character of a stay, and that's exactly how it was treated.
There's nothing in here that says we're not going to go forward at this time. You're trying to take the situation of because it hoped that a third person, in other words, was this stay for 50 years or 100 years? I mean, how long was this supposed to go?
Those are questions the commission, if it had them, should have asked at the time in the form of an order to show cause or the form of a status conference.
But that's if your letter could reasonably be interpreted as that matter. The commission took a look at this letter and looked at what was stated and looked at your actions and not responding to everything else and noting the fact that you hadn't even submitted the new application to go forward with a contested hearing, concludes you've waived the right to contested hearing.
Your Honor, if that were...
Is that clearly erroneous?
The standard, Your Honor, is de novo. But if that were correct as a matter of law... Then
the standard is what?
De novo, Your Honor.
For us?
The standard for you is de novo. We're dealing with... Waiver, generally, as this Court has said, is a factual question. However, when all facts are known, there are no disputed facts, as this Court explained in Kuhn, it becomes a factual question. Moreover, the interpretation of any document, whether it is clear and unambiguous or equivocal, is always a question of law for the Court. This commission, based on this letter, concluded that it was clear. It does not say that there is no alternative reading of it. It doesn't say that it has the only reasonable reading of it. But it concludes that it clearly expresses an intent not to proceed. Whether that is true is a legal question. Whether that resulted in a waiver in this context, in a quasi-judicial context, whether that results in the dismissal of a case 9 years later is a question of law for this Court.
Well, you know, the Commission's order does make it fairly clear that it contemplated the other reasons raised for dismissal. It does say that dismissal of this contested case hearing would address a lot of the issues, other issues that were raised, such as, you know, the findings are so old, there are new applications pending, there are other people that need to be heard. So it sounds to me as what you are really requesting is a continuation of the original contested case hearing with, you know, to take advantage of some of the old findings. And I'm assuming that that would mean that the new applicants would not even be considered as a part of that continued contested case hearing.
That's, if I can start with the second question first and then come back.
Okay.
The commission expressly contemplated that the County of Maui and DHHL's application would be consolidated with this contested case in 2015 on the new use application per this court's order in Kukui. So all of that was contemplated. All of that was in process. All of that was in discussion, including the scope of the hearing on remand and to the extent to which parties could submit new and additional evidence relevant to the collective applications. So all of that was ongoing. None of that has anything to do with this appeal or any basis that the commission identified for dismissing the appeal. All the commission said was that other people have argued these other things. In dismissing the case, this responds to it. That's the language the court used. Not that we relied on those, not that those factored in, not that they were part of our decision, but it responds to it because it makes the case go away.
Okay, I'm so sorry, but I really need to get back to the standard of review.
Yes, Your Honor.
You are arguing that we review the Water Commission de novo?
You review this decision dismissing a contested case de novo, Your Honor, yes.
But the underlying facts that it relies on are clearly erroneous. And part of what they rely on is the intent. And their expertise is in looking at their intent based upon your actions and your statements in the letter.
Your Honor, to be clear, they're not looking at any actions. They're looking solely at the statements in the letter.
There is little in the record besides the letter itself to indicate. So. And then it said, based on the records, and we find, and then they look at the wording of the letter, which we need to give their deference into interpreting how you're expressing your intentions.
Your Honor, there's nothing about the special competency of the Water Commission that leads to the interpretation of the document. Quite the contrary, this Court has clearly explained that while the question of whether a valid waiver exists is generally a question of fact, when the facts are undisputed, it may become a question of law. That is as to waivers generally. As to the interpretation of documents,
but
it's uniformly.
But intent is a fact.
Yes, Your Honor, but they're basing it.
I'm sorry.
No, not at all.
You go ahead.
They're basing their conclusion as to intent entirely on the language of a letter. There's no hearing. There's no fact finding. When a body is interpreting a document, any document, and this pervades the court's case law, interpreting any document to examine whether it is clear or unequivocal, that is always a question of law and always for the court to decide.
Question. Which provision of 9114G are you alleging was violated?
We believe that the decision was made in violation of the law.
Violation of what?
The law.
14G4, affected by other error of law?
Your Honor, I don't have that portion of our brief handy.
The standard of review. I'm trying to figure out what portion of 9114G you are saying was violated.
The portion explaining, we believe two problems with it exist, Your Honor. One, we believe that as a matter of constitutional law, this commission can't dismiss a contested case on any better basis or any different basis than a court could dismiss a case. Right? They're both quasi-judicial proceedings, or a judicial and quasi-judicial proceeding, and due process attaches to both of them.
Okay, so in circuit court on civil cases, there was a procedure, kind of like an informal procedure. If a case was inactive for 2 years, the court could, like, suggest a dismissal.
Yes,
and
sure.
Could hear from the parties.
Yes,
2 years.
Yes, sure.
And so how would this differ from that?
If the commission, after 2 years, had issued an order to show cause saying you have sat on this for 2 years, what are you doing? We might have a different discussion up before this court. But that's not what this happened. The commission, when MPU began filing the new use applications, continued the contested case expressly. So if those 2 years passed and the court continued the case, continued actively working on the case, again for another year and change, the court would not reach back in time and say, oh, I forgot 2 years ago you didn't act. And so now I'm going to dismiss your case.
But you're relying on things that the commission did years later. What the commission said, hey, we're looking at what you folks intended, which is a factual evaluation by the commission. And based on their determination of what your factual intention was, then they apply the law of waiver. And they found that based on your actions, that you intended to relinquish your right to have a contested hearing at that point in time.
I'm with you all except the factual determination. They did look solely at the letter, and they did ignore everything else. That's not what this court would allow any court to do. And if the court allows...
A waiver depends on intent.
It does, Your Honor. But when the intent is expressed in a document, and the interpretation is of a document, that's always a question of law. And when the facts are not disputed, and here they are not, the letter says what it says.
So your position is any contract that's in the record and a trial court makes a finding about the intent of the parties in that contract, that's reviewed de novo?
No, my position, Your Honor,
I think that's what I heard you saying. Anytime there's a document that's undisputed.
No, Your Honor, let me be very clear then. Anytime the question is one of a waiver and the facts are not disputed, it becomes a question of law. That's what this court said in Kuhn. The second point is, when the question is over the interpretation of a document, whether it is clear and unequivocal or ambiguous, that is a question of law for this court.
Very well. Your time's expired. We've been asking you questions. I do want to give you an opportunity to wrap up with any final thoughts for the court.
I appreciate that, Your Honor. I do. The idea of prejudice came up during the appellee's arguments. And this record, to get it developed and taken up on appeal, took 14 years. It's 14 years of work that are forfeited, 5,600 pages, as counsel noted, undisturbed findings, 17 hearing transcripts. All of that is forfeited by this dismissal. The length of time didn't affect anyone, wasn't a concern in 2008 when this case was being reactivated. To express the idea that the 4 years that the case sat, with the commission not doing anything, the parties not doing anything, makes all the difference in the world, I submit, is inconsistent. The case was going to continue on remand in 2008 on a new use application. Beginning in 2012, MPU worked to complete that, and the commission accepted that work and continued. It could not then reach back in time, 9 years later, and dismiss the case solely because of those statements in the letter in 2008. The way to correct that error is to reverse the commission and send this case back to the commission to complete the contested case under this court's opinion in Kukui. Thank you.
Very well. Thank you to all of our lawyers today. The court will take this matter under advisement.